Today on Real Radio.
Everything that you and I do in this world for him, in the end, read the Bible carefully, we will get a reward for in the day of judgment. If I stopped right there, you'd say, well, I'm just going to be happy to be there. I understand that, but I'm not finished.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're now in chapter 3, where the apostle gets very specific on how believers are to conduct themselves now that they're saved and set apart. Otherwise, they are mere men and no different than non-believers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Christians Behaving Badly.
I hope it doesn't happen at this church, but imagine the day when we stand in judgment before the Lord Jesus and you might be thinking, hypothetically, I don't think we'll say anything like this at the moment, but can you imagine when Jesus says, okay, what'd you do for me? What'd you do for me? I don't care about anything you've ever done in your past. I died on the cross for that. That's forgotten. But now that you're saved, what'd you do for me? I want to know, what'd you do? Well, you know, I thought about a lot of stuff to do. Listen, this won't even fly. I prayed about so many things. Christians sometimes have the biggest cop-out statement in the universe. I'm going to pray about that. I wish we had the Pinocchio syndrome as Christians. You know, I'm going to pray about that. Boop! I'm really going to pray hard about that. Boop! The nose just grows. I'm not going to pray about it. You're ditching class. Look, there's a person over there on the street corner hungry. You know, I'm going to pray about helping that person. That's a disgrace. There's so many things that we can be involved in. Where does that come from? From you eating the Word of God. The Bible goes out, it gets into your heart, it changes your life. Also this, they just won't grow up because they can't keep things down. Paul says they keep spitting stuff up. He says, even now you're still not able to even handle the milk. You certainly can't handle the meat. It just comes up. You're not even able to receive it. The word means that you still can't receive it. You weren't able. You're not. The word also implies that you can't digest anything that is of value. They couldn't keep it down. Think about what they cannot keep down. I went through the Bible, found out some things about how the word is communicated as food. The bread, they can't keep it down. The honey of God's word, they can't keep down. The meat of God's word, they can't keep down. Colossians 3:14 says, but above all these things, put on love. A carnal Christian is not interested in loving people unless they'll be the star recipient of their act of so-called love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. A carnal Christian has no peace. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. A carnal Christian complains about everything. And let the word of Christ dwell in you. What's the word? Richly. It means that it's got a grip of your fiber of who you are, the Bible. You eat, sleep, drink, talk, think, Bible. You say, Pastor, man, that sounds like legalism to me. That's carnal to think like that. It is. They just won't grow up. Point number two is found in verse 3. And that is Christians behaving badly is this, that they won't play nice. They just don't play nice. Why? Because their emotions get the best of them. You ever seen kids playing and the kid is just emotionally fixated on self? They don't play nice. They can't share a thing. Somebody brings out something. That's mine. The kid grabs it. And then somebody else brings that, and the kid grabs it. He just keeps grabbing everything, pulls it to himself. He's got 400 toys around him when his neighbor kid sitting next to him's got nothing. Man, I tell you, if that's going on in your child's life, you better start teaching them to share now before it's too late. Man, because when they grow up, you know what they do? They grow up into a world like we live in right now, and I'm stuttering right now because I'm assuming if they move out of your house, I'm saying, how do I say this when they get old? 26 years old now, right? Healthcare program covers a kid who's 26, a child 26, a child 26, a 20, can you imagine? You want to talk about carnal in a culture that's raised up, and it's happening in the church. It's happening in a God context. A person grows up like this. Give it to me. Give it to me. Take out the trash. No. You give it to me, and then I might take out the trash. Think about that. 26-year-old man still living at home. The government says, yeah, you got to pay for his health care. No. You say, Jack, what does that have to do with anything? Think of this. A Christian. A Christian walking around, full-grown Christian person. Complaining, whining, griping, contributing nothing to the family of God, even though God has done everything for them. It's all self-centered. Those are my toys. It's my world. It's all about me. I want this. How come you guys, I'm not coming back. Oh, I wish I could share with you guys my email I get. The emails I get is amazing stuff. Did you ever think about the sanctuary? It's too much bland. The walls are kind of beige. The seats are beige and the carpet's beige. It's just too much. People come to church where there's a lot of glass but no stained window. What do you do with that? I got a phone call last week from a guy who was all upset out of the area listening to the radio program. Completely misunderstood the whole program. He's not a Christian. But it's like, man. And the Lord says, Jack, don't go carnal on me now. Bear up with them. Yes, but there's some people in the church that won't play nice because their emotions get in the way. He says in verse 3, for you are still carnal. Paul's lamenting this. You're not growing up. Well, how do we know if they're carnal? There's envy. Look, there's envy among you. He says, are you not behaving like men, behaving badly? Envy. You're still carnal because envy, the word is a very powerful one. It means this, your heart is inflamed, indignation. We get the word jealousy from this, having a passion to put down someone else, envy, to have a passion to overcome someone, to be at war. The word means to be at war with another person in one's heart or mind. We get the word seethe, to seethe, envy. Paul says you're carnal, and you're not an effective Christian because you're envious. And this word walk or behave, behaving or walking badly, the word means that they go all around. The word means to traffic about, to go all around, to distill or to deposit a wake of envy. That's a strong word. Boy, I tell you, Paul's laying it on the church, huh? The Holy Spirit's laying it on us. In 1 John, the Bible there tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have fellowship with him, God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Notice the criteria. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He goes on in 1 John chapter 2. He who says, I know God and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as Jesus walked. Strong words. That's Christianity. And Paul is laying it on them. Dr. Ironside says this. Dr. H.A. Ironside, great Bible commentator of yesteryear. And I quote, the carnal Christian is a man whose life is characterized by emotions, which lead him from one performance to another. He is a gifted critic and is quick to point out the faults of others. But in his own life, listen to this, but in his own life, he has learned to tolerate and allow and excuse his own sinful actions. Rather than living for one victory to another, his life is a perpetual state of sin and confession. He is carnal, backslidden. He is, in fact, unclean. Strong words. Also this, they just won't play nice this way, church. Look at verse 3, continues, because their selfishness defines them. A carnal Christian would be selfish. Are you Still carnal, he goes on to say, for there is strife among you. Strife. His selfishness defines him. This is very sad. Strife means to quarrel, to be contentious. It means to have the need. Are you guys still with me? We're almost done. We're almost out of time. It's not that we're done. We're almost out of time. They have the need to debate. The Christian, the carnal Christian, lives among spiritual Christians. Well, how do you know? How can you find them? They're always striving in the middle of an argument. You will find them where the drama is. Do you know people who are Christians, but always there is a controversy? They're always in the middle of a disruption. They're carnal, the Bible says, not spiritual. Proverbs 6, verse 14 says, perversity is in their heart. He devises evil continually. And how do you know? It says he sows discord among the brethren. The word discord among the brethren is to infuse trouble, to divide people, to cause breakups. Interesting. The spiritual Christian works at unifying believers. The carnal Christian works in separating believers. G. Campbell Morgan writes, beware of him. He's disgruntled. And they're perfect pictures of a spiritual cancer. Ephesians 4, 3 says that the spiritual man, you and I, are to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Church, listen, that means that you and I, what you and I think, believe, and have to say, if it's outside the Word of God, it's not that important, you guys. But the carnal Christian's opinion is paramount to everything. The carnal Christian's got to win the argument. The carnal Christian's got to finish on top. The carnal Christian's fish is always bigger. When you say, you know what, it was so great. Three people accepted the Lord yesterday and it was so wonderful. Oh yeah, well you know what, I was at this thing and seven people accepted the Lord. They're carnal. Their show's always got to be bigger. It's always got to be brighter. It's always got to be whatever. They're carnal. Why do they say things like that? They're insecure. In fact, I'll read a quote to you that's probably going to have to wait until next week, but I'll paraphrase it right now. Because of their insecurity and the fact that they've lost or never had a full understanding of their position in Jesus Christ, they have to create a world around them. And yet they're on their way to heaven. And they shouldn't be like that. There's no need for it. There's no need. Years ago, I'll never forget this picture. Years ago, in Orange County, there used to be something called like the African Safari thing down by Orange County. Remember the Orange County drag strip by El Toro Air Base? All that stuff used to be there. And I saw one of the saddest things. Now, granted, it was a recovery center there at that zoo place, whatever it was, the African wildlife thing, and there were turkeys walking around in a pen. And I'm sure there was a good reason for this. I don't know the reason why. It just looked so sad. You know what else was walking around in the pen on the ground with the turkeys? Was a massive golden eagle. A golden eagle. You ever seen how big a golden eagle is? They're scary big. And these, I'm sorry, but I know it was almost our national bird. Did you know the turkey was almost our national bird? Benjamin Franklin was an awesome guy. I love him, but he wanted the turkey to be the national symbol because it sustained the pilgrims and it preserved. Anyway, I'm glad his vote didn't count that day. But let's be honest, isn't a turkey just as ugly as sin? And walking around there is this golden eagle. Majestic, awesome, but I pitied that bird. I looked at him and I'm thinking, man, don't you know, dude? Your claws could rip that turkey right in half. You don't even know it. Your incredible hook beak. And dude, the turkey's eyes are on the side of his head because he's a bird of prey. I mean, not a bird of prey. He's preyed upon. What is he? He's a disposable bird. That's the word. Predatory birds have eyes in front of their, they have a face. Predatory birds have a face. That's why a pigeon, you know, a pigeon has to put his head forward and then walk underneath his body. Did you know that? Because his eyes are on the side of his head. No, I'm not joking. An eagle can just walk. I'm making a point here. Come on, stay with me, focus. What in the world is an eagle doing on the ground walking with turkeys? Why would a Christian who's born again, whose name is written down in heaven, walk around with a bunch of turkeys in this world? He walks among those he ought not to be walking with. You are saved, man. Get up and live like it. You're going to heaven. Start practicing heaven in your life. Don't walk, well, you know what? All my friends are a bunch of beer drinking, pot smoking, loser. And that's, you know, that's where I'm at. You're an eagle going, come on, man. Get out of there. Get out of there and walk like you're supposed to walk. They just won't play nice because their jealousies surround them. Their jealousies surround them. But you are still carnal. Why? Because there's divisions among you. Divisions, the word means this in Greek, that they've dislocated themselves and people. Where they go is a bunch of dislocated people. They leave them in their wake or they gather them together. They're dislocated. The word means to be disconnected, to be divided. It means to be cut off from the rest. They surround themselves because of their jealousies. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, so that there should be no divisions in the body, that is of the church, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. What does that mean? It means that the carnal Christian cannot handle someone else being recognized. Let's say you're being honored, or the church is being honored. If the church is being honored, then a carnal church that's somewhere else would say, oh, well, you know what? The reason why is because. Or if you're the spiritual Christian being honored, God's blessing your life. Oh, you know what? The carnal Christian says, it's probably because they've always got a bullet in their gun. And they're going to heaven. Don't you wish they wouldn't or couldn't? Lisa and I joke around sometimes. I'll tell you this stuff going on, crazy stuff and life stuff and, you know, this person and I can't and he doesn't like me and the phone calls and Lisa's, last night Lisa gets a phone call 11 o'clock last night from some other part of the nation actually, counseling, spiritual matter, blah, 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 this stuff and that. And we often say privately among ourselves, man, things are so messed up. This person, they're divorcing their wife, and this person did this and that person, man, you know? And then the thought comes out of we say, man, if you were Jesus, would you come back for this? You think about, if you were Jesus, would you come back to pick this up? Being the church, it's so dysfunctional. And you think about it, if Jesus is going to come back based upon our performance, he ain't coming back. I know he's not coming back. He's coming back because he's faithful. And my friend, listen. They can't grow up and they won't play nice because their jealousies surround them. There are people who, according to Romans 12:10, they cannot be kindly affectionate one to another. There's no brotherly love in them. And they cannot give preference and honor to another. A carnal Christian tears people down. So you guys, I know this was not a happy, feel-good message this morning. And it's so, when the doctor says, this is going to be a little uncomfortable, just know he's lying his full head off. When your doctor says it's going to be a little uncomfortable, you better bite your finger and hang on because it's going to hurt. And Paul is saying, listen, if there's any consolation to all of this, you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. Listen to the beauty of this, what he's saying. Okay, carnal Christian, you're going to heaven. When you die, you're going to heaven. But I have to warn you, the spiritual believer has been building upon gold and silver and precious stones. in their life. You, carnal Christian, you've been building upon wood, hay, and straw. And we're all going to stand before the Lord someday, and he's going to turn on the oven, and whatever makes it through the oven determines how much glory you give back to God in eternity. I have literally heard people tell me regarding the verses that we're looking at, and they think they're so spiritual by saying this. Pastor, I don't want to have any rewards in heaven because I don't want to take away from any of the glory from the Lord. Listen, I don't know what kind of drug you take to think like that. But you've missed it. Listen, here's why. Here's why you want to be the most faithful, radicalized Christian on the planet, the most loving, biblical, wild man for Jesus. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. Everything that you and I do in this world for him, in the end, read the Bible carefully, we will get a reward for in the day of judgment. If I stopped right there, you'd say, well, I'm just going to be happy to be there. I understand that, but I'm not finished. You're given a reward in heaven for your faithfulness in this life. Then the book of Revelation tells us that we walk away from that moment. We go over before Jesus, and what do? We cast down our rewards before him at his feet. And we give it back to him. So I don't know about you, but I want to have wheelbarrows. I want to have truckloads. I want it. Beep, 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 beep. Bring it in. Why? When we dump it before the feet of the Lord, I want him to get all the glory. And listen, you guys, it's those works don't get us into heaven. No, you see, because we are saved, we want to produce those good works. Because in the end, it will glorify him the more. And the carnal Christian can't handle that. Because they're the ones that are, when the beep, beep, beep goes off, they're going to get run over by the truck. Because God says, I'll share my glory with no one. Capiche?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Christians Behaving Badly. It's a look at the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul gets pretty specific on how believers are to conduct themselves now that they're saved and set apart from the rest of the world. Christians Behaving Badly. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember that if Real Radio is a part of your day, would you help make Pastor Jack's day by letting him know? Visit us at realradioactive.org and click on Radio Reaction. Now that takes you to the page where you can type in your message to Pastor Jack. He loves to hear from listeners, believe me. You can also check out what others have written, like this one from a Real Radio listener in the Northeast. She says, Dear Pastor Jack, first let me identify myself. I met you at Bridgefest in June. I was the woman who was celebrating my 65th birthday along with my daughter. I just want to say what a pleasure it was to meet you and talk to you. You've been a great influence on my daughter and me. You keep the preaching of the gospel straight and with the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Many lives on the East Coast have been changed because of Real Radio. I've told my church about Bridgefest, and now many plan to come next year. I hope you'll be attending, and may God give me the grace to celebrate my 66th birthday with you. May the Lord continue to bless you and your family. See you in June of 2013. And again, that comes from a Real Radio listener in the New Jersey, New York area. Again, go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.